Thank you, Jesus. What a privilege to live today, but what a greater privilege to live and have God living inside my soul. The greatest treasure ever and opportunity ever is just to be able to live and have true life inside of you. To know that your sins, all your problems, all your sins of your past, God has forgiven and God has filled you with His Spirit. God has blessed you. Amen. Put you on the right road of life. Amen. I would rather be in God's house this morning than the best hospital in the United States of America. Amen. We do want to go to the Lord in prayer. We have a lot of people that has been sick. We have family members of our church that from cold to their families having COVID, you name it. But I'm thankful for the healing virtue of the Lord. Amen. We have some that are out of town today. We have a great big hole here today, and nobody could fill it but us and them. And we want the Lord to minister to our church family that can't be here today. Those that are listening today, we want the Lord to minister to them as well. And aren't you thankful that God is the healer? Amen. Brother, Sister Hope, we're here just a little bit ago. They have been trying to recover, and I could tell his color and all that. He left, and he's sick. Amen. They left out early out of this service because of sickness. But today, amen, the Lord is our healer and our great physician. Would you go to the Lord in prayer with me right now for every need, every sickness of our church family? Lord, we trust you. We pray for your healing virtue, your touch in their bodies. We thank you for strengthening our elderly, protecting them, Lord. We thank you for healing. Even our little children that are sick, God, our leadership that is sick today, different ones of our church family, would you touch and would you minister today? Let your healing virtue flow. We give you praise and we thank you, Jesus, for the answers that you have. And we worship you, Lord, for doing it in Jesus' name. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Well, it is so good to have you in the house of the Lord today. Amen. So good to see Frank back. He's been working. And Sister Louise, I mean, we're glad that they're in the house of the Lord today. Brother Louis, good to have you, Brother Louis. Amen. And Sister Maria, good to have you. Amen. Brother Sister Graves, good to have you in the house of the Lord with us. And so thankful today to have a first-time guest with us. Faith, we're so blessed you're here today. Let me tell you what Jesus did for Faith. Faith just received the Holy Ghost in Aransas Pass at Brother Riley's. Amen. Oh, we're thankful, folks. Woo! What a beginning. Faith, what God does. Amen. You probably met Sister Modi there. I was preaching when Sister Modi received the Holy Ghost. Amen. About 28 years ago. Amen. God filled her and Johnny and Ram and all them with the Holy Ghost. Amen. While we were there, what a joy to have you, amen, with us today in Nacogdoches Apostolic Lighthouse. Praise God. Ooh, I love the way God does things. Amen. Hallelujah. And God's not done. And God has not sat down, crossed his arms, crossed his legs and said, okay, I'm done. Are you thankful that God don't take a rest? Amen. But God will give you rest. God will give you rest today. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we're so blessed you're in the house of the Lord. We welcome everybody, saints of God. I believe our youth class may be dismissed at this time. And those of you that are standing, you would like to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4 in your Bible. Amen. We believe in this precious book here. Yeah. Amen. And you, we encourage you and we just tell you that you need to bring your Bibles to church. Amen. You need to have your Bibles at home. Amen. And let me just say this, that we had a Muslim man come visit our church one day. And this book is sacred to us and holy. This book is right 9 times out of 9. Every time. And this Muslim man sat right over here. And he watched several people in our congregation when they sat down because of the chairs, they set their Bible on the floor And he asked Brother Pirtle, he said, "Brother, if this is your holy book, why do you put it on the floor? This should be your best friend." Amen. And we want this to be our best friend. We're so thankful, amen, today for the word of the Lord. Hey, this world's going to all fall apart, but this word is going to stand. Amen. Praise God. So we're going to 1 Peter, amen, the 4th chapter today, and verses 7, 8, 9, and 10 will be our passage that we're going to read. Amen. And we're so honored, amen, for the goodness of the Lord. Now, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, Scripture said, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober." You know, sober-minded means this. To be sober means to be at that place alert, aware, and you have your mind open. Watch unto prayer. When you pray, you need to pray watchfully. Watch with sobriety. "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourself." Fervent charity means, well, we better love each other mighty good. "Charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." Well, look what love will do. "Use hospitality one to another without," what? You mean the word of God tells us not to grudge? Yeah. Verse 10. "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as God has filled you with the Holy Ghost." We are not just to take this and like somebody that's won something or received something and an inheritance and hold it and say, "No, this is mine." You ever seen a little kid playing and another kid come around looking at that toy and the kid said, "No, it's mine." The Holy Ghost, amen, has come in my life for me not just to take and hold it, but I want to share what God has done. Amen. We got to share it. And the next thing, it says, "Every man receive the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Good stewards of the grace of God. Good caretakers of God's grace. Hey, the end is coming. And we have no time to be silly, foolish, crazy-hearted. If ever was a moment in your life, right now is the time to be all you could be for Jesus Christ and to be a good caretaker of the grace of God. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your grace today. Thank you for that fresh anointing of your Spirit, the way of your word, Lord, the wonderful way that you connect us with you and you connect us with people that has also received your beautiful Spirit. We thank you for it, Jesus. We just want your glory. We want your anointing, and we want your freedom in our life. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Thankful for the power of the Holy Ghost today. Amen. The Lord's in this place, and God wants to do something in your life. But you are the one that opens and shuts the door to allow God to come in. God don't have a bunch of puppets where he makes all the moves, and whatever he pulls a string, you move. We're not puppets, we're his people. And God has given us the door of our heart, whether we want God to do his work or his will. I want the Holy Ghost. I want the door to be open for God to do whatever he wants in my life. Is that your testimony? Is that your unction? Is that your desire? Amen. I want to open the door for God to do what he has for me today in my life. Amen. How many are thankful for the goodness of the Lord? Amen. I want you to lift both of your hands. Amen. And I want you to ask God, "Lord, have your way with my heart. Have your will right now in this place. God, do what you have to do, Lord. I pray for the work and the wisdom of the Holy Ghost right now. Teach me, help me, Lord, fill my cup. Let your sweet Spirit overflow in my life, oh God. Help me, oh God, to have sense and sobriety. Amen. Lord, help me, oh God, to take care of what you've given unto me." And we give you praise and we give you thanks today, Lord, in Jesus' name. To God be the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Somebody say it with me. To God be the glory. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Oh, the Lord is good, isn't he? Hallelujah. I said the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Praise God. One of the great things is the grace of God. The grace of God. Something I don't deserve. Something that I don't qualify for. Something that I don't even measure up for. You don't qualify for the grace of God. Nobody in this room is born with a sense of just arriving and having all the goods. Every one of us, amen, when we were born, the Bible says we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. It's just not in us on our own. Amen. There is an empty spot in every heart and every soul that no matter what you try to fill that spot with, it can't be filled on your own. There are people think, well, if I could just be rich, if I could just have money, and if I could have all the wealth of the world, I'll be satisfied and content. You hear me? Amen. Nothing will fulfill you and fill that empty spot. No money. Here's a young lady says, if I could just be beautiful on the outside. She goes and she gets a plastic surgery. And she fixes her nose because she didn't like her nose. She fixed her cheeks because she didn't like her cheeks. It's not going to satisfy her too. Looks will not get you there. Looks will never satisfy you. Oh, what about popularity? Folks, I want you to know that popular people, stars and famous people, are committing suicide because they have not found the answer for the hole in their life. That empty spot, that missing spot, amen, that missing piece people are searching for. Oh, if I could just have power, if I could just have authority. I want to tell you the same thing with power and authority. Even the people that owns major corporations that have hundreds of thousands of people underneath them do not have peace. Amen. I want to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost today, amen, the greatest peace that you could ever have is to have Jesus in the inside of your heart, to have him fill that void inside of you. Nothing fills that empty spot like the beauty of God Almighty. So we don't qualify. None of us qualify. None of us are fit. But grace is this, something you don't deserve. When God says, man, you just don't have it. When you recognize that you don't have it, you're in a good position. When a person realizes, I can't fill that empty spot, but I know who can. Today I come to tell you who can. Amen. I have a God who's able to fill that emptiness inside of you. That void. Amen. That humanity is searching. People spend thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars trying to search and find that peace on the inside. There are people that are taking cheap drugs. Expensive drugs. And they all, you know, cheap drugs are costly. It's costing them their health. It costs them their family. It costs them different things, but they still can't feel that hole inside. Expensive drugs. Young lady coming through Nacogdoches, Texas recently. 37 pounds of cocaine. $400,000+. Even the money that she had and the drugs, expensive drugs, could not fill her life. But I watched in Nacogdoches County Jail when Carmen received the Holy Ghost that day. Amen. God came in. I'm telling you, God put a smile and a beauty on her face and her life. Amen. She will have to do a long time in the prison, but she went to prison with a joy and the power of the Holy Ghost. I baptized her in the rec yard in the name of Jesus Christ in the jail. I want to tell somebody there's a hope in Jesus Christ, but on our own, by ourselves, I don't care what kind of good family or lack of good family you have. None of us qualify. But grace says, the Lord says, hey, You don't qualify, but I love you. And I'm not going to hold it back to you, from you, because you recognize that you don't qualify. I'm going to give you something that you don't deserve. That's forgiveness. That's my mercy. That's my work. That's the gift of my love. And the Lord fills us with this love and forgives us of our sins. Every lie that you ever told, everything that you ever stole, every bad thing, every bad thought, everything that you've ever done in your life, I'm thankful that God is able to forgive us of our sins. And not only forgive us, but the Bible says he will take and remove that sin and put it as far as the east is from the west. Are you thankful that Jesus Christ went to the cross for you? Amen. To give you a hope in this life. You ought to stick your hands up and thank the Lord for that hope that he's given you. Amen. That you have an opportunity, even though you didn't qualify. You now qualify because of the goodness and the grace of the Almighty God. Somebody ought to thank God. You ought to be reminded. Mindful. You ought to be grateful this morning for his grace. Hallelujah. Grace is one of the most important and interesting subjects in the Bible. The scriptures teach about grace, about how vital it is, how important a grace is. But the scripture begins to talk to us that we ought to be good stewards of the grace of God. A steward is a caretaker. A caretaker. When somebody is giving you something to take care of, and God has given us something to take care of, his treasure. This treasure is in our earthen vessels, and God wants you to take care of that treasure he's given you. Folks, I don't want to let this go down the tube. I don't want to let this go down the drain. I want to hang on to this treasure. The Bible says where your treasure is, there's your heart. Amen. The greatest joy of your life, the chief joy of your life should be the Almighty God. Amen. I have Jesus on the inside and he's working on the outside. Oh, what a change he has made in my life. And oh, what joy he's put inside. In fact, in the word of the Lord, there's a scripture that says, if I don't prefer God above my chief joy, Jerusalem, basically, it says the place of God above my chief joy, let my right hand forget how to work. Let my tongue cleave or stick to the top of my mouth that I can't move it anymore. I'd rather keep God number one in my life than to have mobility and to have the ability to express myself. I want God to be number one. You see, God is one, but he must be number one in your life. He must be Lord of all things in your life. So I got to be a good steward and a good manager. I got to be a good overseer of the things that God has blessed me, especially of his grace, that gift, an undeserved gift of his love. You know, you try to help somebody, you peel money out, and you try to help somebody that just don't care in life. There are people that you could, let's put it this way, you could get them out of a bind, and you could help them say, well, here's $150 to pay your electric bill. But every month that they get plenty of money, and they don't pay their electric bill, but they keep coming to you saying, I can't pay my electric bill because I spent everything I got on other things. Then the problem is not their electric bill. The problem is the person that's wasting their money. And you begin to recognize that they're not good managers of what they got. They're not good stewards. But God has given us the very best, the absolute best in life. And God wants us to take care of the best. Now, if the king of England, and now we used to have a queen, now we have a king. If king, and you had to learn how to say it like people from England, they don't say Charles, they say Charles with a W. Amen. You got to say it just with a little bit of accent, Charles, King Charles. If he was to come to Nacogdoches and want to eat at your house, what would you do at your house to receive King Charles? Well, I'll tell you what he would do. Before he ever got to your house, he would send some people over to make sure your house would be a safe place. To make sure that your conscience, that you're not just getting anybody, you're getting the King of England. The King of the UK is coming to visit your house. Not only after you cook for him and you cook your very best, and he's sitting at your table, before he takes a bite of your food, somebody's going to make sure it's not poisonous. Somebody's going to make sure it's just right for the king. Everything's got to be just right for the king. My question this morning, amen, is everything right for the king in your life? Do you give God cheap worship? Do you give God cheap attention? Amen. Do you give God just a little bit of your attention? Or does God have your whole heart with worship? When you raise your hands in prayer, amen, you come and you worship God. Is it just that you're just doing it just because it's everything, you just do it at a certain time? Is it just calisthenics, a routine? Is it just something, a habit that you do? Or is it that when you raise your hands, you're raising honor, amen, to the King of Kings? When you live your life, hear me, amen, or you're living your life just to live, and there's some people do things because of rules. They feel like that's just the rules, I gotta obey the rules. But friend, I don't live for God and I don't obey God just because there's rules. I live for God because he's God. He has graced my life. He has blessed me with the best. And he deserves my very best. Amen. Look at somebody and say, God deserves my best. Amen. So God wants us to be a good caretaker of his grace. The best that he had for us. Amen. How beautiful that grace of God that comes. But the grace of God is a saving grace. A grace that will save you. Amen. That favor of God, that beauty of God, that God would look at when everybody else rejects you in life, when everybody else turns their back on you, turns their head, when nobody wants to be around you. Amen. When you have reached that ultimate place of failure, I'm thankful that I have a God that says nobody else wants them, but I want them. I'm glad that Jesus Christ wanted my life. I'm glad that he saw fit, amen, to say, hey, nobody else wants him, I want him. Believe me, hell will take all the unwanted ones and just take him and make him feel like they have no choice. But today you have a choice. The king wants your life. The king wants your soul. Hell was not made for you. Hell was made for the devil. Hear me. Amen. But God said, hey, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Amen. That where I am, that you could be with me. Are you thankful that there's a place for you? That the Almighty God said, hey, amen, I want you to be with me. I want you to have a part with my life. Amen. Oh, the grace of God is amazing. The grace of God put you in the right race. You ever heard the rat race of life? Everything's chaotic and everybody's doing crazy things. Our world's crazy, isn't it? But the goodness of God, God puts you in the right race. What a joy to be part of his champion team, to be those that he plucked out of sin, out of horrible embarrassments. I mean, he's had embarrassments in your past, embarrassments, amen, that I'm telling you, soap can't wash off. Amen. Things you can't hide and run from. Amen. Oh, friend, I'm thankful for the goodness and the power of the Almighty God, that God will save me and keep me and forgive me of all the embarrassments of my past. When you can't get past your past, there's a God who can help you with your past and give you a holy present, glory of his spirit to help you. Change you. To transform your life. To give you hope. To give you peace. But what he gives to you, amen, is a saving grace that pulls you out of the septic system of life, the horrible ditch of life, the sins of life, the hurts of life. I don't know about you, but we live in an hour, there's a lot of hurts. People will hurt you with their words. People will hurt you with their actions. There are people that hurt each other in our generation. They're rude. We're living in a rude generation. But I have a God that is able to love me for who I am and who I'm not. You see, God loves me for who I'm not, just as much as who I am. I'm thankful for the goodness and the beauty of God, that God would say, amen, I have something for you. But I'm wounded. I'm hurt. I've been insulted in life. But the grace of God reaches down to the insulted. And God says, I have a better life for you. Amen. Oh, isn't it beautiful to be in the arms of God, to be covered with the grace of God, that he would take you and love you. And I feel that today the Lord's wanting to love somebody. God wants to prove his love to you right now in this place. Amen. Would you lift your hands? Amen. Would you feel? Amen. And just reach up to heaven. God wants to right now. This, I feel the hands of the Almighty God want somebody to feel him. Somebody to feel that embrace of his grace, the embrace of his mercy, the embrace of his beauty, the embrace of the worth of life, of living for him. Hallelujah. I want you to lift your voice right now as you pray. Amen. I want you to thank the Lord and just involve your heart right now. God, I love you. I want to love you back today. I want to love you back, oh God, as you have loved me. I want to love you as you have blessed my soul. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, hallelujah, for reaching in my soul. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Hallelujah. The grace of God, that saving grace. There's a scripture that we sing, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch. You may have come from a good home. You may have had a good life. But I want to just say very frankly, I don't care how good we are. Good people go to hell when they don't have God in their life. You may have everything good. I mean, I grew up with people that were very good people. Very good people. They had very good homes. But something was missing inside of their hearts. I'm thankful that I have found that hope. Even that beauty. I'm thankful for the glory of the Holy Ghost. That God has a saving grace. The next thing grace does. The Bible says grace will not only just pull you out. But grace will also teach you. There's a teaching grace, the teaching grace of the Almighty God. You see, a while ago we talked about God has made us caretakers of the grace. And it's one of the things that we got to take care of. The grace of God will not only save us, but God will teach you. You know, if this thing is going to help me, it's kind of like a light. A light that is turned on begins to let you know, oh, I got to go around this rock here. Oh, there's a pothole right here in life. I got to go around it. Grace will reveal some things to you that are detrimental to you. Grace will expose your understanding to a knowledge that's not good for me. Oh, those people that I've been with are not good people. They're not good for me. Amen. I love people, but there are some people that really are not good for me to hang around with. Grace will help you and teach you, amen, and expose to you things that are detrimental to your life. You keep making the same old mistakes, keep doing the same old things, you're going to be the same old fool you've always been. But grace is a teacher. Grace exposes something in your soul, even in your mind, that you said, oh, I don't have to go that way anymore. I don't have to do that anymore. Oh, are you thankful that grace also shows you how filthy? You know, you ever been in a place that you never noticed how filthy it was till somebody turns a light on? We went to pick up a washing machine one time at a place in Tyler, Texas. And whoever was with me, we went there. And it was in an apartment, second story. We had purchased this washing machine. And when we're with the young man that rented the apartment, the moment he turned the light on, the whole room started crawling with roaches. I mean, in the picture frames, inside the glass was roaches moving. Everywhere we stepped was roaches, 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 roaches. The light turned on and they were everywhere. Just moving. The walls, the floors, everywhere around. I mean, and you felt like, ugh. Well, the washing machine was already purchased and the money was already given without even looking at it. at a brand new washing machine. And we picked it up and we waited and squishing bugs underneath our feet. And when we put that machine in the back of that pickup truck, roaches were crawling all over the bed of my pickup truck. And I thought, what do I do? Well, we took it out in the middle of a field. And we took a bunch of cans of Raid. We began to spray it. We began to spray it. And we opened it up. We took the cover off the washing machine and let sunlight in the dark places. I'm telling you, clumps of roaches all there. And they don't like the light. They cannot stand to be exposed. And I'm thankful that God has turned a light on in my life and let me see the creepiness, even the filthiness of things of this world. I don't have to bow down. I don't have to accept those things. I'm thankful that God has turned a light of God. He's teaching me. The Bible says the grace of God teaches you to deny ungodliness. Oh, deny ungodliness. Somebody said, I want you to have this. Come on, man. Yeah, man, you need this. You need this drink, Brother Will. You need this, you know, it's some wine or whiskey. You need to, come on, man, you need a party with me. But when God turns a light on in Guillermo's life and he sees, no. I know what it did to me in the past. When somebody said, come on, man, you need some meth. Amen. You know what it did to you because God turned a light on and you can say no. Amen. I'm thankful that God would give you a no in your spirit. Amen. God would give you the ability to see and resist and deny ungodliness. That's what grace does. We had several teachers in our church. Teachers not only prepare you, but they expose the right answer to you and the reason for the right answer. More than just 1 + 1 = 2, they'll show you why. And the grace of God, amen, will put a purpose in your life, a purpose in your living that you understand. Oh, that's why, man, that's why I don't do that. That's why. Amen. Oh, that's why I feel so dirty. Amen. That's why I feel so unclean on the inside and so ugly. Amen. It's because that's a sin. That is displeasing to God. That's the grace of God at work in your life. Amen. I don't know about you. I want to let grace work. I want God to be God in my life. I want God to work in me. You are the manager. You are the custodian. You are the overseer. You are the caretaker of the grace of God. Today, God wants you to let grace work in you. Grace to teach you. Grace to help you. Amen. Lift your hands and I want you to ask God directly, Lord, teach me, help me, oh God. Let your grace work. Come on, somebody's got to open up and say, God, do it right here. God, help my life. Fill my life, oh Lord, with your goodness and power. Fill my life with your grace, oh Lord, with the cleansing tide. Keep me, Lord, on the right road. Help me to stay up on the right pathway, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Grace will not only accommodate you, but it also will help you to accomplish what you can never accomplish on your own. On your own, by yourself, you're a failure. But with the Almighty God at work in your life, God takes failures and faults and people full of emptiness, and God will help you to become something great for Him. Amen. Are you thankful for the abounding grace of God? Amen. Oh, that abounding power of God's grace. Amen. How? Amen. Even though sin had always ruled your life, sin has always won out in your life, wrong decisions has always been part of your life. But when the grace of God comes, the grace of God will help you to abound victoriously. Grace will help you to say, hey, I don't want to be a loser anymore. When I can have victory in Jesus Christ, I want the victory of God living in me. Nobody wants to be a loser. I look in the eyes of people every week that are failures and they just accept a position of being a loser. And this is a statement that I make. I point my finger and I give them hope by this, by saying, you may be an inmate today, but you don't have to be an inmate on the inside. I don't have to go to hell when there's a better place that God has made for me. Are you thankful for the goodness? My, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost working this morning. God is wanting somebody to step out of the chains of darkness. God wants you to step out of that old filthy life, and God wants to give you hope and healing and something to live for. I'm thankful for the goodness and the grace and the abounding power of His mercy. Hallelujah. A hope that He puts in our life beyond this world. Know that this world's not my final destination. You realize on a gravestone, they put the day a person was born and the day that they die. So, Brother Will, what represents a life is just a little bitty dash. That's it. It says, here's a guy's name, Brent Crosswhite, 1969 to whatever day I die. All my life on a tombstone would be just a little dash. A little bitty nothing. Nothing. But I want to just give you some good news. When you have God in operation of your life, God gives you something that will outlive your last breath. God will give you something to outlive this whole life. That whenever your heart quits beating and you breathe your last, amen, it's not the end, but just the beginning of eternal life. Amen. The wages of sin is death, but the gift, the grace of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Oh, you ought to give the Lord a hand clap. I got more than a dash. I got more than just a little bit. Something eternal. Something eternal, the grace of God. And not only that, but Paul talks about grace being a sufficient grace. A sufficient grace means that I have something just perfect that fits just adequately. The grace of God fits that empty spot in your life. Have you ever seen a puzzle that was missing something? Missing a piece. And you thought, man, this looks like the piece. And you try to fit that wrong piece in that spot. You look at your friend and say, bring me a hammer. We're going to make it fit. It won't fit. Bring me a knife. We're going to cut us a little. It's not going to work. Amen. God has the missing piece, the adequate piece, amen, that you need for your, His grace is sufficient. His grace is just right. Amen. I'm thankful today. Just right today is the way of the Almighty. I'm telling you, you got something when you got God. You got the very best that He has. And God will take you. What a change that God makes. Amen. When God takes a run down, worn out, messed up life and gives you His very best. I look at it this way. What is God getting from you? He gets all your hang-ups, your mess-ups. And it's not a right trade, isn't it? And you hand over your old life, raggedy, messed up, and you get His great life, His great peace, His great joy, the very best. Your worst for His best. I can remember as a kid, we played marbles in school. And I had a big old chipped up marble. Y'all remember what them big old marbles were called? We called them Aggies back in Louisiana. That big old marble was all chipped up. And I had a boy who wanted it. And he said, I want that big old marble because every time, I mean, man, when you throw it, it does good. And I said, well, what are you going to give me for it? And he had a box full of beautiful marbles. He said, I'll give you five of any one you want out of this box. And I got to thinking, five of those beautiful marbles for this big old marble? Man, what a deal. It looked good to have all these beautiful marbles that he had. We called them cat eye marbles, and they had all the different swirls of colors and all the different things. And I thought, man, I get five. He said, you could pick it out of anyone you want. And all of a sudden, something in me said, hold it. Every time I play marbles with my old cracked marble, I win. Every time I roll that thing, I knock other ones out of the circle. This whole thing has helped me win a lot of marbles, because when we play marbles, we played a game called keeps. You knock that marble out, you got it as a prize, and you put it in your pocket, in your possession. And I got to thinking, this old boy wants this because this is a winning marble. It may be cracked, it may not be good to look at, but it's a winning marble. And why is it that when you receive the Holy Ghost and you finally get victory in your old messed up life, that the old enemy of your soul comes and says, oh, come on. Come on, Sammy. Look what I got for you. I got all these good things for you. Amen. But Sammy, the power of the Almighty God inside of a person says, no, 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 no. I'm not for sale, and I'm not going to trade the best that God has made in my life. I'm not going to trade my victory for the finest of the world. Amen. The finest things of life I will not exchange. I'm going to hang on to the things of God. There's grace. Goodness of God, the best of God. There's grace to help us. The Bible talks about the throne of grace we can approach to help in the time of need. Amen. I'm glad that I have the grace of God. I'm able to talk to God in the time of trouble. I may be in the hospital room, the emergency room, or I may be on the side of the road when somebody's in a bad wreck. I'm glad that I don't have to dial and say, okay, God, what's your number? God, what's your address? What's your email address? God, I need you right now. Faster than 911 is a connection to the Almighty God. Amen. I mentioned this the other day a couple of times, but I'm going to say it again. We were in Houston, my wife and I, and we're traveling on a feeder road when a black vehicle all of a sudden come rushing by us. I did not have time to say anything but Jesus. And friend, I closed my eyes and I grit my teeth. And when I did, amen, we didn't have a collision. We didn't hit the car. In fact, I don't know how the car got through. Amen. God, amen, came through right on time. I'm telling you, grace to help in the time of need. I will not trade. I will not let go of the grace of God. I'm going to take good care of it, because it takes good care of me, the grace of the Almighty God. Amen. The goodness of the Lord God. Amen. Sin always has consequences. There's a penalty. But grace has turned the things around. Where there was a penalty for my sin, now I'm covered with the blood. The Bible says that Satan is an accuser of the brethren and sisters. How the enemy wants to come and point their finger at you and say, but look what you did. You remember that time you did that? Do you remember way back then when you used those words and you looked at these things and you remember how dirty you were? And the enemy comes to accuse you and begins to tell you, look at your past. Look at what you did. Look at all that foolishness you did and created in your life. Look how many people you hurt. Look all the wrong you did. The Bible says Satan is an accuser. But I'm thankful today for the grace of God that God says, amen, I don't see any sin no more in your life. All I have is just the blood all over your. The blood of Jesus washes away every sin of your past and gives you something to live today victoriously. Amen, friend. I'm not going to trade the grace of God. I'm going to take care of the grace of God. I want to be mindful. I want to be one that takes care and oversees. Grace, you have free reign in my heart. Holy Ghost, you have the liberty in my life. God, you go ahead and do what you want to do in my life. I want to grow. Teach me. Work. Work on me, save me, help me, bless my life. See, most people think that the grace of God's like a spare tire. But grace is the driving engine of my life. Amen. The main source that holds everything together. Amen. The grace of the Almighty God is the super glue. Amen. That will get you all the way to heaven. Amen. We're responsible for what we do with grace. We have a commitment. Amen. To keep that inward quality pure. Amen. Oh, I want to keep the things of God. Amen. Really, the things of God in my life. Amen. You're responsible even when you make a budget. You have money. You know that you only make this amount of money per month. You're responsible to take care of what's entrusted in your life. So we make a budget. You make allotments. Say, I know I have a car note. I know I had to buy food this month. I know I had to pay for insurance. There's other things. And so instead of saying, woo, I got a paycheck, and blowing everything you got on your paycheck, you allot it and you budget it and say, okay, I got this much to take care of this and this and this. And you are the steward, the manager, the custodian of what's given you, your budget. So you budget it and you start taking care of some things. Even in a business, when somebody's a custodian of amount of money, where they put somebody in a financial officer who makes sure that corporation, that the spending doesn't go out of the boundaries of a budget. That custodian, whatever, before he permits somebody to say, well, we need 6 brand new pickup trucks. And before they go get those Ford F-150s, he looks at the price and he says, I'm sorry, our budget only budgets just the allotment of having 3. But the man said, we need 5. But the custodian of the account says, no, there's only been allotment and budgeted for 3. You can't buy 5. And many people get upset. Why? We need 5. I got to have this. But we have budgeted for 3 because we don't want to overstep and overspend in an area that we don't have it for. I mean, our government has stepped over boundaries, hadn't they, in spending. Amen. They have overstepped a lot of boundaries today. Amen. We owe. If we're not careful, to China we go. I'm getting political, but that's the truth. And the custodian of the account has to have some kind of ability inside of him, some fortitude to say, no. We have a budget here and we can't cross that. And he has to say no because he is the one that realizes it's going to violate the will of this account. The will of this corporation says we will not go out of the boundaries of it. So the custodian, when the man comes with a purchase order and says, look, I have to have all this, he better have something inside of him to say no. And as a saint of God and as a person that God is working on, you better have the ability to understand what violates the will of God in your life. God has called you to be the custodian and the keeper, amen, of the manifold grace of God, the steward of God's grace. You're responsible, amen, what you let in your life, and you're responsible what you let go in life. Amen. Friend, God has called us not to compromise in this hour. Don't compromise his word. Don't compromise his will. Don't let sin enter in. Amen. Hey, after all, God gave you his best. But what you do with it matters. Amen. What you do with the things of God. Do you just, oh well, I don't have to have that. That's just a bunch of rules and regulations. But if it pleases the Almighty God, how wonderful it was. Brother Lambeth, a missionary to Brazil, has written a book. And in that book, he talks about when he was a young man, he went to school to be a firefighter in Brazil. And one of the very first calls that he went to, 2 cars had collided at high speed. And it was nighttime when they pulled up on the scene. They turned the lights on and different things. They started looking. One car, there were 2 men that were completely crushed. and they were dead. And they sent this young man to get another piece of equipment on the fire truck. And while he was going to the fire truck, he tripped over something. And he shined his light on the darkness on the side of the road and realized it was a body of a very young lady. It scared him. He turned the light on. She was lifeless. She was dead, just a corpse. And where she was at and where the vehicles was at was about 60 feet away. And the captain on the team there, the fire captain, when this young recruit says, "I don't understand. The wreck is over here, but she's way over here." Come to find out, the two men in the front seat, they were there. And whenever they had the wreck, they hit the dash. This young lady was in the back seat, and she was thrown out of the window 60 feet plus, killed instantly. The fire captain said the reason for all three deaths is because they did not have their seatbelt on. You see, somebody got to studying that a lot of wrecks, people were going through the windshield. And they come up with the seatbelt at first was just a lap belt. Remember that? And he still was having collisions where people were hitting the steering wheel, hitting the dashboard, and killing them. Finally, somebody said, I think it was Volvo. Their engineer said, "We need a 3-point safety belt." And they started doing that. And it doesn't save every life, but it has reduced a lot of deaths because it holds you back from hitting the dashboard and flying out the window. But there are people that would jump in their vehicle and say, "Oh, well, it don't matter. And the rules and the regulations of our Texas law, when you're behind the wheel, you better have your seatbelt on." Why you put your seatbelt on? Because it's a rule. No, there's a purpose behind it. It's to give me a better chance of making it should I have a wreck. And I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord. God begins to set boundaries for our good. But there's some people, it don't matter. And they see the police behind them, they grab their seatbelt and start clicking it because they don't want to get caught without it. They don't want the cop to catch them. But folks, the most important thing is the principle behind it. I don't want to fly through that windshield. I want a better chance of survival if somebody hits me. Friend, hear me carefully today. God wants you to maintain some things in your life that you can live for Him. Amen. And hang on to some things of righteousness. "Oh, that's just rules, Pastor. That's just you can't do this and you can't do that." No, friend, this is more than a rule book. Amen. This is a saving book. This is a helping book. Amen. This is something that would grant me eternal favor with God. I got to take care of these things. In closing, there's a parable of the unforgiving servant. Let me explain to you, Matthew, the 18th chapter, there was a man who owed a lot of money. Who owed a lot and he could not afford to pay 10,000 talents or 10,000 amounts of money. And he would go to the king and say, "King, I can't afford it. I'm so broke, I can't afford to pay you back." And the king, the Bible said, had mercy on him and forgave him of his debt. The same man that was just forgiven, he gets back, and on the way home, he sees somebody that owed him 100. Let's just say $100. He gets him and takes him by the neck and drags him to prison because that man owed him 100. Jesus all of a sudden stops and he teaches from this story. He said, when the king found out about the man that he had just forgiven for 10,000 who went and grabbed somebody just owed him 100. He took him and threw him to the tormentors. Jesus relates that. He who is forgiven much needs to love much and be graceful. We must handle grace with gracefulness and gratefulness. I'm thankful for the grace of God today. Even if God has forgiven you, don't you dare point your finger at somebody else and say, but look at them. You know, look what they did. No. You need to help them know, even though the forgiveness and the grace of the Almighty God. Hadn't God been good to you? Hadn't God blessed your life? Haven't God filled you and pulled you out of a horrible pit? Amen. You see somebody that walks in this place. Amen. Their life is in the pit of life. Amen. We don't kick them down when they're trying to get up. Amen. But we throw the lifeline of grace to them and the love of God. Amen. If God did it for you, he can do it for them. I don't care how bad off. I don't care how stinky their life is. I don't care how horrible their condition is. The grace of God will complete that life and change them. If it did it for me, it'd do it for them. Grace. What do you do with it? What are you doing with the grace of God? God has made you custodian. Do you handle the grace of God in a way just... don't matter. But is there a matter in your heart? It says, God, I want to please you. I want to bless you back. Amen. I love this. I love the story that Jesus said. There was a dignified man who had a son that was fixed to get married. And they sent out wedding invitations. Back in the Bible days when they had a wedding, they also had a big feast. Invitations went out to all the dignitary friends and family members. But when it came time for the wedding, this one says, you know, I can't come. I got this going on. I got this going on. I can't come. Another one said, you know what? I just bought a new mule and I got to go check it out. Excuse. Then the king, the man that had the son who was going to have the wedding feast, he looked at his servant and he said, I tell you what you need to go do. You go to the unwanted, the cripple, the blind, the messed up. He said, we got tables of food here. Go get the unwanted and bring them to the table. You know what the servant said? Master, I've already done it. Amen. He knew the master's heart. Amen. He was a good manager of the grace of God. Amen. I'm thankful that the broken has a place at the table of God. The hurt in life has it. The one that has did horrible things, God has a place at his table for you. Amen. Oh, that one, you foolishly had done things so blinded and foolish. There's a place for you at God's table. Amen. Oh, I love the song. Amen. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Amen. Are you thankful for the room that God has made for you at the cross? The reservations at his table, a place in his fold, a place where his grace can touch your life. But Paul said we got to be good managers of the things that God has given us. Amen. Bow your heads right now and lift your hands with you right now. Amen. I felt the Holy Ghost from the very beginning working very specifically. Somebody that felt hopeless. Amen. Oh, you felt out of place. Amen. In life, you don't know what's going on in your life. This morning, the Holy God of heaven wants to meet you in this room. God wants to draw you to him and put your heart to his heart. Amen. God wants to love you. God wants to feel you. Hallelujah. Would you stand right now? Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to stand and lift your hands. The Spirit of God is here. Amen. Oh, the grace of God, the lifeline of heaven. Amen. Wants to wrap around your life. Amen. You may be discouraged, but I feel the pull of the Almighty God this morning in this place. Amen. You may be in a battle, but the grace of God wants to be in your corner today. The love and the help of God wants to bless you. Amen. Don't forfeit. Don't slap the hand of the one that's reaching this morning. Oh, come on. You need to welcome God. I welcome your spirit. I welcome your mercy. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Prayer warriors, you help me ready to pray. Amen. In the name of Jesus, I feel a spirit in this place of somebody's hurt on the inside, full of chains, bondage. And I feel it's important right now that we pray. I want you to lift your voice right now. Lord, we come against this God, the spirit of bondage. God, you come to loose and set free that one. Your grace has come. Amen. Lord, your mercy has come right now. Hallelujah, Lord, in your name. Come on, saint, lift your voice. There is a definite need right now. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the word of God. Hallelujah, Lord, we come with authority now, Jesus. Let your spirit, let your word, oh God, minister. Let your hand reach right where it needs to reach in that life, that heart, that soul right now, Jesus. Hallelujah, come on. Amen, there's room at the cross for you. Amen, won't you come out of your chair? Amen, come on, come to the front of the altar. Amen, oh, there's a place, there's a place, there's a place. Amen, there may be somebody coming that you need to pray with this morning. Amen, that just needs to feel the goodness of God all over their life. Come on, don't miss it. Be a good manager, a good steward, a good overseer of grace. Come on, hallelujah, help me out. Amen, don't stand there watching. Amen, there's somebody in need this morning. Amen, don't just stand there. Amen, you got a job to do, saint of God. You got a job to help me pray. Help me reach this morning.
Where one eye.
Amen, you can pray with that one next to you.
You